Penguin Random House Audio presents The Retreat by Sarah Pierce, read for you by Elizabeth Nolden. For my mum. You can be a king or a street sweeper, but everyone dances with the Grim Reaper. Convicted murderer Robert Alton Harris's last words. Summer 2003. Prologue. Thea's scream rips through the clearing, startling the birds from the trees in a flurry of flapping wings. The sound isn't human. It's high-pitched and desperate, the kind of scream that turns your stomach inside out, makes your ears burn. She should have waited until they got back to camp. He told her to wait. But Thea had insisted. Half an hour and three beers since they'd snuck away from camp for some time alone, and she couldn't hold it any longer. Don't look at me like that. It's your fault for bringing me so many cans. Shout if you see someone coming. Laughing, she'd walked a few feet away, carefully positioned herself so Ollie could see only the sandy tips of her white keds, the thin trail of wet already winding through the dusty floor. The scream intensifies. Ollie freezes for a moment, but instinct kicks in. He lurches into action, pivoting toward her. But almost instantly, he comes to a halt, a cloud of dried soil and leaves kicking into the air. A movement. Someone stepping out from the tangle of branches. The rock on the cliff above, the island's namesake, is casting them in shadow. But Ollie can see right away that this person isn't from camp. They aren't in shorts and a t-shirt like the kids, or the cherry green of the camp leaders. They're wearing something dark and shapeless. Ollie's eyes dart to Thea. He can now see her frantically thrashing in the dense underbrush. He wants to move, to do something, but his body's locked. All he can do is stare, his heart lunging in his chest, hard, knocking thuds against his ribs. A violent flurry of movement, and then a sound, the sharp, liquid crack of something bursting and breaking. It's a sound he's never heard before. Ollie closes his eyes. He knows it's Thea, but in his head, he's turned her into something else. A puppet, a mannequin, anything but her. His eyes flicker open, and it's then he sees it. The watery trail has become something darker, thicker. Blood. It splinters into a fork, the liquid tip of a snake's tongue. Another strike, this time harder, faster, but it barely registers, and neither does Thea's second scream, blistered, cut off, like it's clotted in her throat, because Ollie's already running. He darts into the woods, making for the cove he and Thea found yesterday while the others were building the fire. While they'd both pretended they had stopped there just to talk, to drink, it was obvious it was going to become something more. His hand on the soft band of skin above her shorts, her mouth pressed against his. The thought is too much. He speeds up. It's as though he's running blind. The setting sun flicker flashing through the trees overhead, his eyes seeing nothing but a blur of shadowy green and the grey-brown carpet of leaves. His sneakers are slipping out from under him, the dry ground as slippery as mud. Barbed branches pull at his shirt. One catches his arm, snags the soft skin on the inside of his wrist. Blood flares, a ragged line of tiny red beads bursting through his skin. It feels like he's done this before, a weird déjà vu, as if in a dream, one of those panicky ones where you wake up sweating and panting, the type that sticks with you for a while afterward. A few yards on, and the trees start to thin, the woodland floor giving way to sand, the rock beneath, flattened elephant folds of dusty limestone. He's reached the steps Thea found yesterday, nothing more than wooden treads knocked into the soil. Momentum tugs his body forward with each step, and he's forced to lean back to stop himself from falling. When he reaches the bottom, he jumps onto the sand and runs toward the small overhang he and Thea had lain in last night, contraband bottles in their hands. Ollie drops to all fours, hollowing his back to crawl under. Once he's inside, he sits with his knees drawn up to his chin and concentrates on breathing. In and out. In and out. Being still. Staying quiet. But his body won't cooperate. He's shaking with jerky spasms that he can't control. Ollie clamps his hands over his head as if the pressure will force away the scream still ringing in his ears. But now it's not just the sound, it's the sight. Thea's body folding, collapsing, like a puppet master had violently jerked at her strings. He bashes his hand against the rock above him, bashes again and again, until there's ripped back skin and blood. Red smears across his knuckles, a sharp thread of pain pulling through him that he tries to hold on to distract him, but it doesn't work. The truth is still shouting. He left her. He left her. He ran. Ollie puts his head between his legs and takes a long, shuddery breath. Minutes pass, but no one comes. It's getting late, he can tell. The last of the sun is almost gone, the sand in front of him now in shadow. He'll wait a little longer, he decides, then he'll try going back to camp. As time ticks by, Ollie half convinces himself that it was a joke, a prank Thea got roped into by the boys. He clutches at the thought. He'll get back to camp and she'll be there, laughing at him for running away like a kid. A few minutes later, he drags himself from under the overhang. Straightening up, he glances carefully around him, but the beach is deserted. There's nobody there. As he runs back through the forest, he's still clinging to the thought. It's a joke. Thea is fine. But as soon as he enters the clearing, he knows. The dark trail from before is now a stream of blood, forming a winding downhill path. Ollie tries to look at her, but he can't bring himself to see past her white kids, now perfectly still, and streaked with red. It isn't real. Not Thea. She can't be. He turns away, bile rising in the back of his throat. It's then that he notices something on the ground, sitting on top of the dusty leaf litter. A large stone, about 12 inches long. The surface is mostly weathered, with tiny scuffs and dimples where it's been battered by the waves and sand, but it's also smooth in places, the outlines softly contoured. Crouching low, Ollie picks it up. It feels warm, gritty, against his palm. Something about it is familiar, he thinks, slowly turning it between his fingers. It hits him, and he holds the stone still. Tipping his head, he glances up at the rock on the cliff face behind, then looks back at his hand. Ollie looks from one to another until his eyes blur. He realizes that what he's holding isn't just a stone. The subtle curves and contours resemble the rock above him. Reaper's Rock. Thursday, 10 a.m., 2021. At Explore Wild with Joe. So, here's the update as promised. We're at the beach waiting for a boat to take us to the retreat, but what I didn't realise is quite how remote Carey Island actually is. I reckon it's a 20-minute boat ride from the mainland at least. Jo flips the phone's view from her face to show the sea, a glimpse of the island visible in the distance. I've had loads of people asking about Lumen, so I'll explain the vibe. Lumens, a luxury retreat on the gorgeous island you've just seen, off the South Devon.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?